And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, it's really astounding to see the kind of tricks the Republicans have been playing with the commission to investigate the insurrection in January. I understand they don't want to have it investigated, that they do anything to try to keep it from being investigated. But if it's not investigated, how can they justify carrying out their oath of office to defend and protect the Constitution?
Because that's not what they see as their job.
Well, that may not be what they see as their job, but isn't that what the oath says, defend and protect the Constitution?
Yeah.
Isn't but the heart of the Constitution is the election of the president, the election of the chief executive officers of the country, the orderly transfer of power. That's the whole point of the Constitution.
Yeah, well, the rule of law.
The rule of law.
And but they have wandered so far from that. They're only into power, which they define as winning, and they have no policies except that when they win, to cut taxes for the wealthy and to go after people that they don't like, the libs, so to speak, but to restrict minorities, restrict women. This is just what they've been doing. But they have an entire they really do have a policy platform. They just don't state it. But essentially, as I've been looking at it, it's mostly ignorance is bliss. We don't want people to know things. We only want them to know what we say they should know, whether what we say is true or not, or is attached to reality. And we see this running in parallel to the events of January 6th. I don't want to leave that for long, but look at what they're doing in terms of what they call CRT, critical race theory. They don't want people to know anything about what happened to black people in the United States at the hands of the segregationists and the slaveholders and whatever. In Texas, they're restricting what people can learn about. They're all upset because part of the curricula says that the KKK was bad. They don't want people even to learn that.
The Texas law, the new one that was just passed, forbids teachers from saying that the terrorism of the Ku Klux Klan was morally wrong. They're not allowed to teach that. That, presumably, if they would teach that, would bring down the United States Republic. But it strikes me, if you don't teach that, you're bringing down the United States Republic.
Yeah. They're real comfortable with what the founders did in Philadelphia, both, in 1776 and 1787. But they're not real comfortable in talking about how many of the founders were slaveholders and what the Constitution did as it was originally written in order to preserve slavery. That they're not interested in people really knowing. When we now extrapolate out to the commission to investigate what happened in January, they've built an alternate reality around it. I mean, and it's gone from Mitch McConnell.
They just lie. What they do is tell lies.
Yeah. Well, both Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy came out after the insurrection, and let's face it, that's what we should be calling it, and delivered speeches in which they excoriated the rioters, and they placed a blame at the foot of Donald Trump. And now, after that, everything has changed. Now, the people who were rioting were the heroes. If you heard the tape that was made by the Washington Post reporters who wrote that book about Donald Trump, if you heard, what he kept talking about, how this was a love fest, literally the word love kept coming out of his mouth, and how the police were all, happy with the rioters. They were letting them in and things like that. Now, there was a couple of...
Well, I can believe that they were letting them in.
Well,
you may be telling the truth about that.
Yeah, I mean, there were some, some parts of it where they were letting them in. I saw one thing where one of the rioters took his picture with a Capitol policeman. But by and large, they were manning the barricades there.
That's true.
And they were getting beat up.
They were manning the barricades without the kind of preparation that they always have at large demonstrations. I've been to many demonstrations in Washington, D.C. I never saw the kind of sloppy, lackadaisical approach that these cops used at that demonstration.
They had no guidance. They had no real preparation.
That's right. They weren't. Or their guidance was, leave these people alone.
Well, what happened was that there were reports, and this is what some of the things that they don't want to have come out, that that indicated that there was going to be a riot, that the Proud Boys or the some of these other groups, the Three Percenters, were planning to do harm. And either the information never got to the right people or was never acted upon by the right people. And
I think it went beyond that. I think people in command of the police told people down below, leave these demonstrators alone. We're not going to act against them. That's what they were told. It was affirmative. And the people who did that quit the next day.
Yeah, I mean, we saw this week that there were demonstrations over the voting rights by members of Congress and people who are minorities. And they were arrested and handcuffed in a peaceful demonstration outside the Capitol.
Right.
And nobody got arrested inside the Capitol on January 6th. Nobody got handcuffed. I mean, the only cuffs you saw were the ones on the demonstrators that they brought to try to use on members of Congress or the vice president. That sort of thing needs to come out, and the Republicans are desperate to try to prevent that. And we saw that this week when Kevin McCarthy, I mean, first of all, the Republicans put themselves in a box because Nancy Pelosi negotiated with the Republicans, and it was a good faith negotiation. She gave them virtually everything that they wanted. She gave them the same number of members of the commission, unlike what Congress committees are. When you're in the majority party, you get to have more on any committee than the minority, and veto over or agreements on subpoenas and things like that. And
agreement on subpoenas means a veto over subpoenas.
Yeah, basically a veto over subpoenas. They came to this agreement. The House passed it with a good number of Republican votes. And it went over to the Senate, and Mitch McConnell scuttled it. They got, what, six? Was it six or eight?
I think it was eight votes.
I think it was eight Republican votes. They needed 10. And except for the fact that a bunch of Democrats left and weren't there to vote. But they left because they knew they didn't have the numbers. But anyway, so they scuttled this really bipartisan commission that was well balanced. And then Pelosi says, well, okay, then we'll do it the way that a majority will do it. You know, we're going to set up our own, a commission, and we'll appoint ours, and we'll appoint eight people from the Democrats, and let McCarthy have his five. And McCarthy,
which he didn't have to do.
No, but he hemmed it on. And don't forget, one of her eight was a Republican, Liz
right.
Cheney.
Right.
And McCarthy comes out, and he names a couple of disruptors. Jim Jordan, who I saw something this week, has been in Congress 14 years, has never had a bill passed that he sponsored.
Liz Cheney said to Jim Jordan on January the 6th,
yeah,
you're responsible for this. She told him to his face, you're responsible for this, when they were hiding from the rioters.
Right. While the cops were protecting them.
Yeah.
The cops that they've refused to fully fund now.
Yeah.
Yeah. The cops that they claim that they're on the side of.
Yeah.
Things like that, and all the votes, they're not backing them. They even had a bunch of them refused to go along with awarding them citations. Do you remember that vote?
Yes, exactly. They refused to vote for the citations.
There was about a dozen that refused that.
Right. So when McCarthy goes so far as to name Jim Jordan a member, an instigator of this rebellion, as one of the people responsible for investigating the rebellion, you know that he is being, what shall I say, disruptive?
That's all he was going to do. I mean, he wasn't going to talk about January 6th. He was going to talk about Black Lives Matter.
No, he was going to talk about Nancy Pelosi. Because what he said immediately, that is Jim Jordan, was, this is a quote, why wasn't there a proper security presence at the Capitol that day? He says, only one person can answer that question. Only one, the Speaker of the House of Representatives. Now, Jordan knows that the Speaker of the House of Representatives has nothing to do with security at the Capitol. The Capitol Police Board is responsible for security at the Capitol, and the Speaker is not in charge of the Capitol Police Board and isn't responsible for appointing the members of the Capitol Police Board, which consists of the House Sergeant-at-Arms, the Senate Sergeant-at-Arms, the Chief of the Capitol Police, and the Architect of the Capitol. They're the ones responsible for the Capitol Police. Jordan knows that, and yet he says if Nancy Pelosi is responsible for this, which shows that he had no intention whatsoever of pursuing an investigation honestly, and therefore he shouldn't have been on it. I mean, would you allow a guy who is prejudiced to be on a jury? You wouldn't. If the guy said, no, I always believe the prosecution, wouldn't the defense throw him off the jury immediately? Wouldn't he be thrown off for cause?
Well, maybe not in Texas, but you never
maybe
know.
Not in Texas, right.
But, you know, there it goes again. Ignorance is bliss. I mean, he is not informing the public of the truth.
No.
He's filing false information. And then they have the Jim Banks, who is also one of the people that voted against investigating the insurrection. So she threw them off, and then Kevin McCarthy.
And she was totally
then,
right to throw them off.
Oh,
and it's not a partisan act to throw them off. It's an act in defense of truth.
Right, right. And you know, I don't know if they thought that she wouldn't do it. I don't know if they really wanted her to do that so that they could have a talking point for a day or two, claiming that she was being mean to them or nasty woman.
Well, their whole thing is to say that it's all partisan and therefore nothing should be believed, because their whole thing is you shouldn't believe any authority. You should only believe them.
Them, yeah. But now they're in a position where they have nothing with regard to the committee. They have no way of complaining about subpoenas. And, you know, maybe Jim Jordan will be called as a witness and asked some very pointed questions about who he'd been talking to on the day of the insurrection or the days before the insurrection. I mean, we still don't know if they're covering up for members of Congress who, you know, there's the reports of these Capitol tours that occurred the day before.
On January the 5th, yeah.
Yeah. So we don't know, but certainly by pulling out, there's no cover that they have for these people when the hearings start.
Well, I'm sure that their strategy is to try to discredit the whole thing and therefore discredit the final report. That's what they're going to
What they're going to try to do is have a kangaroo court outside and have their own hearing at which all they're going to do is bloviate and state, repeat the falsehood.
They'll say it's Nancy Pelosi's fault. She was responsible.
Yeah. The question
and the
is,
fact that they're lying on the one hand and totally contradictory, one idea contradicting the other idea, one statement contradicting the next statement, that's par for the course for these guys.
Yeah. But, you wonder when they start calling the witnesses and they start calling these police officers. And those.
They're already attacking the police officers. Some Republican attacked one of the police officials, saying he's a known left-wing agitator. This is a Capitol policeman.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a left-winger on the Capitol Police.
Yeah.
You can't get on the Capitol Police if you've got left-wing politics. Take it from a left-winger.
But there's more than one guy there to testify. And
there's more than one guy to testify, but they already started attacking the policemen, these great defenders of the blue lives.
Right. Right. So, we had that action this week. I'm not sure when the committee is going to start its work. August is usually a down time.
Well, they've got plenty of stuff they have to do. I mean, there is that infrastructure bill.
Yeah. Well, that's something else that it's on again, off again. The Republicans are still playing games about funding or whatever, although it's basically.
What the Republicans don't want to do is pay for it. That's it. Or they prefer that you pay for it.
They are
determined that rich people should not pay anything for anything.
Right. That's the whole point. And I think it was pretty outrageous, but the Democrats backed off having extra funding for the IRS to go after the millionaires and billionaires.
That's an interesting story, right? They had an appropriation in there of $50 million that was going to produce a net of $100
billion. Yeah. Systematically, over the last decade or so, the Republicans have defunded the IRS just to get to this point where they don't have the wherewithal to go after the big boys. Remember,
basically the Republican argument is that rich people have a right to cheat on their taxes.
Yeah. It's, and the Democrats are saying you have to go after them. I mean, it's like Willie Sutton. You go where the money is.
You go where the money is, right.
You're going to have to see exactly what comes out of it. Now, maybe the Democrats' backup plan is to put that in through reconciliation.
Well, it certainly fits, after all.
Yeah.
Reconciliation is justified if the budget is concerned, revenues are concerned. This certainly concerns revenues, $100 billion net year after year, not just one time. It's year after year.
Right, right.
Can you imagine that these 2 percenters cheat to the tune of $100 billion a year? That's recoverable because they say that the real cheating is to the tune of $500 billion a year. But nobody hopes that they can collect that much. But they can collect net of $100 billion a year. It's really amazing. And that there's a political party in Congress that says these people have the right to do that? Isn't anybody going to at least laugh at them for this?
Well, it's up to the Democrats to publicize this.
Absolutely.
The line that I would use, the line that I would use, is if the rich, if the millionaires and billionaires don't pay their fair share, who is going to?
Yeah, you know who's going to? The poor people.
Yeah, it's going to be
the working people.
The working people.
Yeah.
And you keep pounding on that, and that's something else that you have to do is you have to repeat that message.
That's right.
You have to repeat that message.
Yeah.
And so we'll have to see.
And the other thing that's hanging in the balance are the two voting rights laws.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got a court, a Supreme Court, that's prepared to eviscerate every voting rights law. The only way you can overcome that is by passing new laws. The Republicans, of course, don't want to pass any new laws. They've already said they're not going to pass the law that's going to restore the Voting Rights Act, and they don't want to pass the John Lewis law either.
No, no, and Joe Manchin hasn't even talked about carving out an exception for the filibuster on that.
And worse, Biden the other day, speaking in Cincinnati, I think, made the comment that you shouldn't get rid of the filibuster, that if you got rid of the filibuster, Congress would be in turmoil. I can't understand that. I mean, that speech was made almost 6 months to the day that he was inaugurated the president, and to me, if that's his point of view, his presidency is over after 6 months. And the answer is he doesn't have the votes. Well, he may not have the votes today, but if you go out and fight for the votes, you might be able to convince Sinema and Manchin. That's the votes you're talking about.
Right.
But if you start out by saying it'll throw the Congress in turmoil because then that's all we'll be talking about, but we won't be talking about the infrastructure bill, you're not going to get the infrastructure bill. Can't you see that? I mean, what are these guys around Biden thinking?
I don't know. Although I do hear that there are a lot of behind-the-scenes negotiating going around, that it may be closer to passing a bill than people think, that they're... the Republicans do want infrastructure. It's just a question of what kind of infrastructure and how to pay for it.
They don't want to pay for it. Sure, they want it, but they don't want to pay for it.
But they want it, and so
I also want it.
You had Biden down in Ohio and Kentucky this week, pointing out to that bridge. I don't know if you've ever been over that bridge from goes from Cincinnati to Covington, Kentucky. That's where the airport is for Cincinnati, in Covington, Kentucky. I've flown into it, so I know. And, it is a pretty old, rickety type of bridge. It's a pretty old, and all over the country.
And yeah, I mean, we have thousands of bridges that need replacing, thousands of them.
More than a few in this area.
That's right.
But, the Republicans or the Democrats need to talk about and I like the term human capital, and that's what they want to do in the backup bill that they have. Whether they'll be able to get that through reconciliation, we'll have to see. But
neither Sinema nor Manchin has indicated that they'll go for either of those bills. Just the opposite. Manchin has said it all depends on how much it'll cost.
Right. Yeah, Manchin. Yeah, that's it. Or how it's going to get paid for.
Yeah, but that's the Republican line. I mean, with that approach, there's no bill.
Yeah. Although one of the places where they need the most is in West Virginia. I mean, West Virginia needs those.
That doesn't seem to bother him.
Yeah, it's curious. It's curious. And Sinema, she just seems to be out there way on her own. No one could quite figure her out.
Well, she's a person who spoke against the filibuster, getting rid of the filibuster, just a couple of years ago.
Yeah. She seems to be running scared.
She ought to be running scared.
Yeah. But
she's just scared of the Republicans.
Wrong things. Yeah, she's scared of the wrong things.
That's right. What she ought to be afraid of is that some Democrats will rise up and challenge her and get rid of her, as they should. As they should, because in this situation, not to go along with this infrastructure bill that we need to have is a crime against the people of the country.
Yeah. Now, I'm not sure. Is it her bill or is it I'm sorry, not her bill, but is it her seat or is it the Mark Kelly seat that is up next year? One of them was an interim seat, I believe.
I think it was Mark Kelly.
Okay.
I think his is the short-term seat.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it would be better if it were our seat.
Well, yeah. We'll have to see. Yeah. We'll have to see. So, you know, we have those things. And
meanwhile, what do you hear about, if you're hearing anything about, the Democratic primary for senator?
Well, there's a lot of candidates for that. First of all, I think you need to note that there's nobody besides Josh Shapiro running for governor on the Democratic side. They seem to have cleared that. But senator, there's a handful of people.
A handful is 13, I think.
Well, yeah, some of them are more serious than others. You know, you have that professor from Penn. He's not a serious candidate. He's running on the climate issues, but he's not going to get anything. And I don't think that at least one of the state senators from Philly, either Kenyatta or Street, well, at least one of them, I don't think is going to turn out to be that serious. They're going to cancel each other out. Kenyatta seems to have the better shot right now from there. But the real speculation
is... I see that Valar Kush was endorsed by Emily's list, and they're carrying out a lot of fundraising for her. She's the chairman of the county commission in Montgomery County, a county of about 250,000 people with a gigantic budget. So she's got real experience.
Well, she's got, you know, she will be the only woman in the race, so she's got that.
Well, there's other women in the race, but I heard two of them just the other day. But they don't have any money. She has money.
Yeah, she has the money. She's the only real serious one, and I think that's where she's coming from. Although I do hear things that she's not the most liked person out there in Montgomery County. So we'll see, because that, in terms of garnering support, an intensity of support, that could be an important factor. But the real speculation is from out west, where you have two white males.
You got 14 seconds to get this in.
Well, you have the lieutenant governor, who's got the most money, and you have Connor Lamb, who is making noise about running. The Democrats don't want Lamb to run. They think he's the only one that could hold that congressional seat there. He may just be jockeying for a better alignment on the reapportionment.
But so we'll have to see. Democrats can't affect that, can they?
Technically, no. Right. It's a commission, but there's, there's subtler ways. You can make it do one thing and still make it look good.
Well, if Connor Lamb got in it, do you think that would seriously threaten John Fetterman?
I don't. I still think that Fetterman's got an overwhelming, not just monetary lead, but I think he's the more popular person there. And I think when you go through the heart of Pennsylvania, that's where he's going to pick up Democratic votes. He's definitely, would help the image of the Democrats throughout the state and negate some of the Republican strength there. And the Republican candidates don't seem to be that strong in the Senate race.
Well, that's all for this week.
Yep.
And we got a lot of jockeying coming up next week. I know that because the infrastructure bill has to be handled with one way or the other in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, because they're going to go into the August recess.
Recess.
They won't be back, as if Congress doesn't have other things to do.
Right. And, you know, in the at the same time, you got Ted Cruz holding up all appointments to the State Department, every one of them. And that holds back the Congress as well.
You know, but there were a bunch of appointments as ambassadors, including Caroline Kennedy this week.
But they still have to be approved.
Yes.
And until they're approved, they're not appointed.
Right, right. So we'll see.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.